Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Ten eight, we're on duty. Soul Patrol. Call letters. John 3:16. My partner Eddie. Eddie Chavez. Eddie, welcome to the show, brother.
10-8, man. We are on Soul Patrol. Just I'm reporting for duty, sir.
Amen. And what we're trying to do here, especially on the Jesus 911 show, there's three retired cops trying to show the importance of having a relationship with Jesus Christ in the Catholic faith. And literally, we actually believe that having a relationship with Christ in the Catholic Church is a matter of life and death. That's how serious we take this.
That's right.
And we got a couple of really good topics today. But before I do, I just want to mention that everything we do here is meant to give you guys intel. That means information to form your moral conscience. We want to give you briefing. That's a term that's used in police work when the cops go in. Right before they hit the streets, and the watch sergeant, the watch commander, the team leader, they tell people what's been happening the last couple of hours in their beat so you can know what to look out for. So, Eddie, that's exactly what we want to do here.
That's exactly what we're doing, Jess. Hey, real quick, before we go on, I wanted just to mention, Jess, I'm still recovering from all the beautiful coverage yesterday of D-Day, the 75th anniversary of D-Day. I think it's so important, and I know you guys mentioned it really quick yesterday, but I wanted just to say that, for our youth to understand what that was all about, it's just, it's monumental. It was really beautiful coverage. I'm glad that I was able to see it. To learn more about it, Jess. We learn more and more about it as time goes on. So it was a beautiful thing. I'm glad.
Eddie, I thought President Trump's speech was one of the most powerful speeches I've ever heard a president in my... I've heard about five or six presidents speak on D-Day.
Yes.
This was probably one of the best speeches I've ever heard, in my opinion. I don't know about you. I don't know if you saw it.
Yeah, I did, Jess. I saw it. It was wonderful. I mean, he talked about... He actually recited the prayer that Eisenhower and Churchill had previously stated back on D-Day itself. You know, we learned about how all the participants there are going to be dwindling. You know, they're 70, you know, they're 90, yeah. 92 right now. They probably won't make the next one, but it was just beautiful. I thought that was worth a mention. Thank you for that.
Yep. And which we want to pray for all those in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Eternal rest grant to all those men that lost their life on D-Day, O Lord, and let your perpetual light shine upon them. May their souls rest in peace for their bravery and their courage through the mercy of God. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Eddie, what's back was something that's not going away. It's a problem in society. It's also a problem in the Catholic Church. Yep. Is the whole homosexual ideology. And the way they call it, they call their parades... pride parades, and we know that the sin of pride is a sin of Satan.
That should be their first clue. Right?
That's a big clue.
Yeah,
I'm looking at a picture here, Eddie. They're so in your face about it. They even held a homo pride parade. We call satanic pride parade. They would call it gay pride. They had one June 11th, 2011. And they call right there in Rome, in the city of Rome.
In Rome.
And the center of Catholicism. And they called it Euro Gay Pride or Euro Pride.
Euro Pride, right.
And this whole homosexual ideology, the homosexual ideology, I would say, is summarized by the way they're proud, Eddie, of this mortal sin, and they're in your face about it.
Yeah, just that's one of the things for me personally is hard to take is how they're intolerant of any other view except their own. And that's part of the problem that they you know, I'm looking at the same picture you are. It says, do not deny us. And with a rainbow background, Jess, look, the reality is this. We have our beliefs. They have theirs. We believe ours is true because Jesus Christ stated it. And if they want to exist on this pride thing, which they do every year, Jess, every city in every major city in the country and other countries, like this particular one we're talking about that happened in Rome, has one. And they're just not going to let us forget about it. And it's going to be a battle till the end of time.
Eddie, and I did a little bit of research on it. The first, what they call the first pride parade that they had was in 1970 in downtown Los Angeles. That was the very first one that they had. That was their kickoff. And Eddie, I've seen pictures of what happens in these pride parades.
Okay? Oh, gosh, Jess. I'm glad you brought that up. I worked in West Hollywood, Jess, my first couple years in the job. I worked in West Hollywood, and one of the events we had to cover was the Halloween celebration, which is very similar to the gay pride, because all there is out there is homosexuals, and they're very proud of what they do. And the things that happen, Jess, at those parades,
that's what I'm getting at,
is sinful. It's just absolutely sinful. And but they want to proclaim it as if it's something that's good. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
In other words, Eddie, what happens in those parades, we can't even talk about it on radio, not even on internet. That's how dark it is.
That's true.
But this article written by Dr. Horvat, he says this: sin is a revolt against the order established by God, and therefore a revolt against the Creator himself. The more this revolt becomes manifest, the greater is the sin. So he's talking about the way this homosexual ideology is a pride and revolt against God. He says, man can sin out of weakness and feel shame for his sin and desire to make amends. By the way, he just described me. That's exactly what I feel when I sin. What he just said, I feel shame,
right?
And then I want to get right with God right away. Dr. Horvat says, or man can sin with special malice and take pride in his sin. In this case, the revolt against the Creator becomes more manifest, for as St. Thomas Aquinas says, quote, it is characteristic of pride to be unwilling to be subject to any superior, and especially to God, close quote. For this reason, St. Thomas, this holy doctor, presents, quote, pride or self-love as the beginning of every evil. And let's remember that according to Scripture, pride is the beginning of all sin. That's in Sirach chapter 10, verse 15. You know, it reminds me of hearing Dr. Scott Hahn's lecture. He's always saying that the doctrine of purgatory exists because many of us are going to die with too much disordered self-love. And that has to be purified before we enter into God's presence, is this disordered self-love we have for ourselves. Well, that's exactly what Dr. Horvat is saying here. He's saying, quoting St. Thomas, he's saying that pride or self-love is the beginning of every evil. And that's why in Catholicism, Eddie, we have things such as called penance and reparation and fasting. Those are things that are called to mortify our body from all the self-love.
Just the essence of what we're dealing with right now in today's world is in fact what you just said, self-love and pride. It's where all sin originates, okay? For example, just from the top of my head, abortion, the selfishness of the mother, homosexual marriage, the person failing to acknowledge the value of the opposite gender, Jess. Stem cell research, let's say, the victim ignores the number of children destroyed to conduct the research. So, Jess, this pride, this self-love that we have to accomplish what we need personally overrides our, the understanding of what sin is, and we fall into it every time. That's the nature of what goes on. That's pride.
That's right. And theologians commonly believe that the sin of Lucifer and the evil angels was one of pride. Indeed, since having no physical body, Lucifer and the demons, they cannot be carried away by concupiscence as with man. Therefore, their sin had to be one of the spirit. And there's two passages in the Bible. I've known about Isaiah, but I just learned one yesterday. I didn't know this one referred to Satan, but it sure does after I read it. One passage that refers to Satan that the church has always used is Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 14. Here's what it says, okay? I know this also refers to, I think it's the king of Babylon, but in a secondary sense, it also refers to Satan. And it says this, okay? How you have fallen from the heavens, O morning star, that means Lucifer. Son of the dawn, how you are cut down to the ground. You who mowed down the nations, you said in your heart, I will scale the heavens. Above the stars of God, I will set up my throne. I will take my seat on the mount of the assembly. In the recesses of the north, I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Mm-hmm. So that Isaiah is describing, in a secondary sense, Satan as well as the wicked king of Babylon at the time. But here's another passage. Again, this is the richness of Scripture, where it describes something historically, then something also spiritually. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 20. It says, this also describes Satan spiritually. It says, long ago, you broke your yoke. You tore off your bonds, and you said, I will not serve. That's Jeremiah chapter 2:20. Boy, there's all this, all these hints in the Old Testament that give us the character of the devil, Eddie.
Yeah, just it's not difficult to see the devil, and then particularly how they describe him in these two verses that you just read. And so we have some information about the devil with this. He broke his bond with Almighty God. Jess, he decided that he would not serve, and everybody else, all the other lesser demons, join in that same battle cry that they will not serve. And thank God we have Saint Michael who took care of that problem. Who's the heavenly bouncer, as we call him?
Hey, yeah, I like that. Heavenly bouncer. Well, we're going to continue talking about this topic, homosexual ideology, Luciferian pride, satanic pride. This is a battle we'll be fighting, Eddie, until the end of our life. I don't see it going away.
Yeah, definitely. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with more of Jesus 911. Stay with us on this last day of the week. We'll be right back.
This is Terry Barber inviting you, all the men, to a men's conference June 15th at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is going to be a day where we're going to talk about true masculinity. You know, there's a problem in the Catholic Church today. We have very few men who love the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of the wives that I'm listening to right now are saying, I want my husband to be on fire for the faith. Send him to the men's conference. Your son, send him to the men's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. That's June 15th. When your husband comes back from this conference or your son, they're going to have a different view about their Catholic faith because they're going to meet three men who love Jesus and his bride, the church, and are going to instill in them a love for Christ and his church, the Eucharist, Our Lady. Bring them to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Sign up there or call 877-526-2151. Full sheen ahead.
It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, CatholicRC.org.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, John 3:16 is our call. There's three retired cops, that's Ruben, include him, that love the Lord Jesus Christ. We're serious Catholics, and we're on a soul patrol. We're trying to get as many people to heaven because, in my opinion, Eddie, Well, every day we wake up, we know we're closer to the second coming of Christ. And, you know, one of these days we'll do a show on eschatology, on the fact that we know that Christ is a lot nearer now than he was 2,000 years ago.
And that should be shocking for all our listeners, Jess, for everybody listening, because you never know the day you wake up and the trumpets are going to sound and the bright light in the sky is going to occur. So we have to be careful for that day.
Yep. Or it could just happen to you personally,
right,
before he comes. But nonetheless, something's going to happen, because I'm telling you, time is ripe. But we'll talk about that later. Going back to homosexual ideology, which is Luciferian, Dr. Horvath says, to take pride in practicing the homosexual vice and to proclaim this in public in the streets and the squares of the world's leading cities is a sin of the spirit. It's a challenge to the law of God. Well put, doctor. He says, it's a denial of reality as such and an adhesion to a utopia and to a pathological fantasy. Man, he's got some very good descriptions. It reminds me of what I've heard Father Ripperger say. He's told me that every city has a demon assigned to it. And he says that Los Angeles has the demon of unreality. That's what he told me. He goes, L.A. is controlled by the demon of unreality. Well, that's exactly what Dr. Horvath is saying right here. He said that the homosexual ideology is what? A denial of reality. It's the manifestation of Lucifer's pride and a repetition of his cry, of his desperate cry of revolt, I will not serve. And it's also a hatred of the Catholic Church, Eddie.
Yeah, definitely, Jess. You know, the statement includes a certain knowledge that the statement itself comes from an individual. Okay, we're talking about Lucifer here, who is aware of there's an obligation for him to behave a certain way. His behavior is called to serve God. He denied that from the very beginning, Jess. And right there, you have the doubles on a topic we covered the other day that. You know, it's not about annihilation. It's not about anything else, but the devil deserves eternal punishment for what he did. A spiritual being existing in preternatural times deserves eternal punishment for saying, I will not serve, and continuing to act on that throughout eternity.
Yeah. It's an eternal sin against God deserves an eternal punishment.
Exactly.
Eddie, going back to what happened in Rome in that Euro Pride Parade, Italian newspapers and internet blogs, they published hundreds of photos from the march, which I would definitely not want to see because I've seen what happens there. And Dr. Horvath writes, what stands out most, even more than the wild display of lust and semi-naked bodies and obscene postures and gestures, is the hatred shown against the Catholic Church.
Yep.
He says, as there's a homosexual sacrilegiously presented himself posing as our Lord Jesus Christ in dark classes. That's common. They're always doing that in the homo parades. Can you imagine if they did that to Muhammad? What would happen?
You know,
because they know that Christians, they know that we're called to be people of you know, forgiveness, people of peace, people of charity. And so they push our buttons, Eddie, I'm telling you. But I'm telling you, judgment is going to fall hard upon these people if they don't repent, because you cannot mock God and get away with it. You have to repent and you have to do contrition and make amends.
And just there's very little repentance, very little penance going on by this particular community, especially in Los Angeles, where we see it all the time. Matter of fact, just they have to blur out on some of the newscasts after Pride Parade. They have to blur out some of the stuff because it's not appropriate for family viewing. It's terrible. But yeah, it's definitely something that's against the Catholic Church, Jess. And let's go on to describe exactly what it is here. It talks about the offenses against a sovereign pontiff cannot be made more vile. A large banner in front of the march showed a photo montage depicting the Pope with women's hair, wearing socks and skimpy lingerie. Below the words, "She wears Prada, but is a friend of Satan." Another banner showed a cartoon of Benedict XVI wearing a Nazi medal, holding a crozier with the Nazi symbol, and below the words, "Natzinger, Nazi plus Ratzinger attacks gays." Another banner reads, "A Ratzinger, love your neighbor, but not as Hitler." And yet another, "Real hell, the Vatican mental Guantanamo." many homosexuals dress up as bishops or priests in a ridiculous and debauched manner. Jess, this is something that's specific. This is not about any of the other, you know, faiths of the world. There's not anything against, you know, the Baptists or Seventh-day Adventists. This is against the Catholic Church because this is what stands for what Jesus talked about is the Catholic Church.
Well, Eddie, because these Luciferians, because that's what they are, you know, they may not call them, the homosexual subculture may not call themselves Satanists and say, I don't believe in Satan, but they're Luciferian, which means they're bent on promoting lies and evil. And so Luciferians, they know who the true religion is. They know it's none of the 40,000 Protestant denominations. Yep. They know who it is. It's the Catholic Church. And that's why they set their sights against the Catholic Church in these pride parades. Pride. I'm just saying to myself, I'm asking myself as a man, one man to another man, Eddie. I can see if somebody says, hey, dude, you know what? I bench pressed 400 pounds. I said, all right, that's good. Hey, I knocked off 100 push-ups. Wow, okay. Hey, I shot a Coca-Cola can from 500 yards away with an AR-15. All right. There's some things, you know, hey, with my bow and arrow, I shot an apple at 100 yards away. There's some things where I could see a guy get a little bit proud, like, wow, okay, that was pretty cool. Wow. Hey, I won the pull-up contest in high school or something like that.
Worth a mention, absolutely.
Yeah, but Eddie, what is there to be proud of regarding the act of sodomy? Well, I mean, what talent does that take? To undress and get sodomized or what? I'm asking myself. I mean, it's not like you really have to like train for this. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
All you have to be is just darkened by mortal sin, and you fall right into something like this. Go ahead.
You know, just it's just something that's so simple that I don't know what it is. You know, the thing that we say a lot here on Jesus 9-1 is mortal sin makes you stupid. And you know what, Jess? How can these people believe that they're going to be worthy of this defense at their exit interview and says, I didn't know. I didn't know defense. It's not going to work, Jess, because these things are so anti-Catholic, anti-Christian, and they're just, they're not focused on their exit interview. That's for sure.
And not only that, Eddie, it's also natural law. Without even looking at any Bible verse or the catechism,
right.
Natural law will tell you this is abnormal. Okay?
Yeah.
Sodomy exactly. Is not normal. The parts just don't fit. Mm-mm. And natural law will tell you that. You know, your heart will tell you that. Nature will tell you that. That's why we got a disease called AIDS.
Yep. And there's a lot of ignoring of that nature, Jess. There's a lot of ignoring. Look, I mentioned this before. I'll say it again. When people believe in same-sex marriage, Jess, they're ignoring the value of the other gender. So if you have two women getting together, they have to be of the same mindset that, guess what? Dad didn't have anything to do with the people that we are today. Dad didn't have anything. So these people are stupid. They've allowed sin to make them totally like you said. There's no understanding or appreciation of reality. Yes, they live in a fantasy.
And you know what? I'll be honest with you. My heart, I'm saddened when I see homosexuals because I see that they're lost in their sin. And a lot of them just don't even realize it. And some people may say, well, you know what? The Bible, you know, Jesus never said anything about homosexuality. Well, that may be true that Jesus never said anything specifically about homosexuality. Jesus also didn't condemn rapes. He didn't condemn orgies. He didn't condemn masturbation. So that's an argument based on silence. That's a weak argument. But I'll tell you what Jesus did say. Jesus did say to the apostles, whoever hears you hears me. Okay?
Yeah.
So if you listen to the apostles, you listen to Jesus. Luke 10:16. Well, the apostles have written clearly about the sin of homosexuality. Romans 1:18, 1 Corinthians 6:9-10, 1 Timothy 1:10. So the apostles have clearly written about the dangers and the evils of homosexuality. And remember what Jesus says? He says, listen to the apostles, because when you listen to them, you listen to me.
Absolutely, Jess. Absolutely. And that's what people don't get, Jess. You know, and you can be ignorant of scripture, this and that. You can make these excuses. But like you said, there's a natural law that tells us some of these things. And if you ignore that, you're
playing with fire.
You're playing with fire, and you're going to get burned sooner or later. You know, how did Father Cropper say, if you dance with the devil, he'll have his way with you. And that's what's going on with these people.
You know what, if you're struggling with homosexuality, I'd recommend that you go to a website called Courage. Courage, it's a Catholic apostolate that reaches out to homosexuals and lesbians. They're on the internet, they're on Facebook. Go to Courage. They also have support groups. They got support groups for parents whose kids are involved in this lifestyle. They're rock-solid Orthodox Catholics, and all the recommendations there are based on Catholic principles. Eddie, the Bible also tells us the prophet Zephaniah, he also reminds us, he says, rebuke those that say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do evil. And the prophet Isaiah, chapter 6, he says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. This is exactly what the satanic pride and this entire homosexual ideology leads us. It leads us. They want us to call light, or they want us to call darkness light, and they want us to call light darkness, and they want to impose this darkness on the world. How? Through the dictatorship of law using the courts and the propaganda coming from the liberal media. That's how they want to do it.
You know, Jess, what you said earlier is great, because I'll tell you what, Los Angeles is a perfect example for other areas, because there's a upside down nature. There's an inverted reality here that doesn't exist, that doesn't truly exist, but yet the homosexual community, for part of it, part of it is the homosexual community, but they have inverted reality here. So the truth of the matter is something opposite of what Los Angeles calls it. So whatever you hear in Los Angeles, if you go to the opposite point of view, you're probably going to be safe. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back with more of Jesus 911. Please come back with us. Thank you.
This is Terry Barber inviting you, all the men, to a men's conference June 15th at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is going to be a day where we're going to talk about true masculinity. You know, there's a problem in the Catholic Church today. We have very few men who love the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of the wives that I'm listening to right now are saying, I want my husband to be on fire for the faith. Send him to the men's conference. Your son, send him to the men's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. That's June 15th. When your husband comes back from this conference, or your son, they're going to have a different view about their Catholic faith, because they're going to meet three men who love Jesus and his bride, the church, and are going to instill in them a love for Christ and his church, the Eucharist, Our Lady. Bring them to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Sign up there or call 877-526-2151. Full sheen ahead.
It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support, because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, CatholicRC.org.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, Soul Patrol. Two-man car, we're 10-8, we're on duty. Eddie, I want to just give kudos to an incredible Catholic bishop. I'm looking right here at Fox News. Illinois Bishop Paprocki, he says, no communion for lawmakers who backed abominable abortion bill.
Yay.
Yep, this guy's got brass ones, Eddie. an Illinois bishop who calls an abortion bill passed by the state legislature, he called it extreme. He issued a decree on Thursday that no lawmaker who supported it will be able to receive communion for promoting the abominable crimes and the very grave sin of abortion. You can read that article. It's Springfield, Illinois, I believe. It's Illinois, the state, okay. Diocese of Springfield, Illinois.
Joe Biden, stay out of his diocese.
Yeah, and this guy just put down the hammer. Praise God.
Thanks be to God for healthy, courageous bishops, Jess. That's what we need. We need bishops like him.
Amen.
Amen.
Eddie, here's a question that it's a good question, and it's above my pay grade, so I did a little bit of research and I deferred to higher authorities. The question is, does God love Satan? And let's not be flippant about this. Okay. Does God love Satan? Okay. This question was asked, an EWTN. They have an expert section where, you can ask some of the experts in the Catholic Church these theological questions. So on that question, off the top of my head, I said, here's what I would say without doing any research. Okay, I know, for example, it says in the Bible, it says Esau God loved, Isaac God loved, but Esau God hated. And a lot of people say, whoa, God hated Esau? Well, I remember from my biblical theology classes from Scott Hahn, he says that the Hebrew word hated Esau is the Hebrew word loveless. I said, oh, okay, well, that makes sense now. Hated is a strong word. In other words, Scott says that the Hebrew doesn't translate very well in English. That word that's used in Hebrew is where it says, Isaac God loved, but Esau God hated. The word God hated means in Hebrew, he loved less. Where in English, hate is a powerful word, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So with that understanding of Hebrew from Professor Hahn, I can say that, yeah, God does not love Satan. Or if somebody would say God loves Satan, I would argue, God loves them less than anybody else, and we'll see why.
Yeah, that's right.
But I would also say, biblically, I could argue that God does not love Satan. So let's take a look at both possibilities, okay? Here's Father John Eckert. He answers this from EWTN. It's short, Ed. If you want to just share the answer, we'll just talk about it.
You want to do the answer, not the question, right?
Do the question and the answer.
Let's do the question real quick. This is a question of Father Eckert. It says, Merry Christmas. My diocese has a magazine that goes out to all registered parishioners. There's a question and answer section in which someone asked if God loves poor people, if God loves poor people more than rich people. Part of the answer from a local priest was this: of course not. God loves everyone with unconditional love. God loves the Blessed Virgin Mary just as much as God loves Satan.
Wrong.
Yeah.
That, I think that there's was a wrong. Problem with that. Whatever priest said that in a magazine, that wrong. Was wrong. Well, you'll see why.
Yeah. And so the question is, does God love Satan? And that was from a girl named Lisa. So Here's the answer, Jess. Let's kick this around a little bit. So,
okay.
Wow. With that incorrect answer, no wonder you're confused. In fact, God does not love all equally. First of all, the more that God sees of himself in a person, the more lovable that person in the eyes of God.
Makes sense.
Yes. In fact, God loves the Blessed Mother above all creatures, including this the angels. Okay. It says, God loves in accord with the degree of supernatural charity that exists in each person. So, both in heaven and on earth, the saints are loved in accord with their degree of charity possessed. As to those who are devoid of supernatural charity, the demons and human souls which are not in the state of sanctifying grace, God does not love such creatures at the supernatural level of love, though he may still love the creature at the natural level, since existence itself is superior to non-existence.
I like that. That's a good answer. I love that, the way he explained that.
Yeah. Exactly. But the natural level of love is insufficient. This is what I like. The natural level of love is insufficient to make one acceptable to be in the presence of God. Hence, demons and the damned are in hell. The love of God is not unconditional, which is why a person can fall from grace and warrant eternal damnation.
Very solid answer.
Yeah, that covers all the bases there.
Yeah, he does. Father John Eaker from EWTN, he covered all the bases in this answer. I really can't add much to it. Again, if somebody dies in a state of grace, you're going to heaven. God's going to love you more because you're going to have face-to-face fellowship with God forever. If you don't die in a state of grace, God, because he's our creator, he's going to allow your soul to exist forever. So, and like Father John Eaker says, I know he's quoting here some of the great minds of the church, because I've read that from some of the church fathers, that existence is better than non-existence. So even if God allows somebody to exist in hell, to have existed, and even existing in hell, like giving a person the rewards for their own free will, that's a superior status to never have been born. So that's what he's arguing there. So God still loves them, but it's not a supernatural love anymore. It's a natural love. I'm just going to will your existence. I created you, and I'm going to will that you exist because so that you can allow you to exercise your free will and receive the rewards or punishments of your free will. So I will your existence. So there is a certain love there because God wills their existence, but there's no supernatural love because they're not in a state of grace.
Right, Jess. So here's one thing I wanted to ask you, Jess. So it says above in the paragraph that we just read, it says,
yeah,
God loves the Blessed Mother above all creatures, including the angels. So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Humanity is a lower level than the angels, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So the Virgin Mary comes from the human race. However, God loves the Blessed Virgin Mary above all, the good angels or the bad angels, because she cooperated with the will of God. Is that correct? Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah. That right? So far, yeah, you're totally on point with that, on Catholic point. Correct.
Right. And so I would say that the reason that God loves the Blessed Virgin Mary above all creatures is because of that, and because she cooperated with the will of God in a supernatural fashion. And number two, she agreed to be the mother of Christ without understanding fully the plan of God.
Exactly.
Right?
In other words, she went on raw faith, Eddie.
Yes.
Exactly. Where Satan had, and the demons had, and the fallen angels had...
the plan. They knew
what the plan of God revealed to them.
Right.
And so that's why there's a lot more merit in what the Blessed Virgin Mary did, is because she went on raw faith.
Right.
She was not given a foreknowledge of any of this. Yep. Satan was given a foreknowledge of all of this, and that's why his fall is so great, Eddie.
Yeah, that's why that's the battle cry of I will not serve, Jess. That's where it comes from. It comes from knowing what God was going to do and being in direct opposition to that will. That's where his problem comes from. That's where the pride break comes from. That's where everything comes from, right there.
Yeah. Eddie, and there's a Bible verse that I think actually argues that God hates Satan. I think there's a Bible verse that really argues this position well. It's Psalm chapter 5, verses 4 and 6. I'm going to read it from the RSV. It says, now we know here it's talking about, you know, wicked people on planet Earth, but we could extrapolate this also to demons and Satan, okay? It says this, quote, "For thou art not a God who delights in wickedness." Stop there. Satan's wicked. The Bible says God does not delight in wickedness. It says, "Evil may not sojourn with thee." Okay, the devil's called the evil one, and the Bible says that evil can't travel with God. Verse 5, "The boastful may not stand before thy eyes. Thou hatest all evildoers." Well, Satan is the number one.
He's the chief.
Boast. Yeah, he's the epitome of boast. And the Bible says that people who boast can't stand before the eyes of God. The Bible says, "Thou hatest all evildoers." Satan's called the evil one. Verse 6, "Thou destroyest those who speak lies." The Bible says that Satan in John 8:44 is a liar, the father of lies. And it says, "The Lord abhors bloodthirsty and deceitful men." The Bible says in John 8:44 that the devil is a murderer. And the Bible says that God abhors the bloodthirsty. What does the word abhor mean? It means to regard something with extreme aversion, to utterly detest, to abominate, or to loathe. And then it says also that God abhors deceitful men. Well, the Bible tells us that the devil is the master of deception in Revelation chapter 12. So everything about Psalm chapter 5, verses 4 and 6, basically, you can take each verse and it applies to Satan.
Yeah, Jess, you know, this is something that people have to understand. The Bible is clear on God's understanding, his teaching of evil. And so even though he may or may not refer specifically to the devil, the originator of sin, the originator of deception, the originator of lies is something that God does hate. Therefore, we have to take that understanding of what Scripture does say and apply it to the devil. This is very simple, but a lot of people get tied up in it, Jess. You know, a lot of people get misled by the fact that there's not specific passages that describe certain things. So this is why it's important to know the Scripture.
Yeah, so here's what I would say. Scripturally, I think I stand on solid ground based on Psalm 5, verse 4, 6, yeah, that God hates Satan. Scripturally, I think, and theologically, we stand on solid ground that says God loves Satan less because he wills his natural, his existence, but there's no supernatural charity for Satan. But God does will his existence, so he loves them less. So theologically, I think we're on good grounds in both.
Amen. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This is Terry Barber inviting you, all the men, to a men's conference June 15th at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is going to be a day where we're going to talk about true masculinity. You know, there's a problem in the Catholic Church today. We have very few men who love the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of the wives that I'm listening to right now are saying, "I want my husband to be on fire for the faith." Send him to the men's conference. Your son, send him to the men's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. That's June 15th. When your husband comes back from this conference or your son, they're going to have a different view about their Catholic faith because they're going to meet three men who love Jesus and his bride, the church, and are going to instill in them a love for Christ and his church, the Eucharist, Our Lady. Bring them to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Sign up there or call 877-526-2151. Full sheen ahead.
It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, CatholicRC.org.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber.
Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
We're 10-8, two-man car, Soul Patrol, John 360 in our call letters, giving you some SWAT training, spiritual weapons and tactics.
Yep.
Eddie, we're going to move to another topic, so... Are demons supernatural beings?
Good
That's
question.
The question. What is the answer?
Okay, so let's do this one here, Jess. This is, are demons supernatural beings? So here's the answer. Angels and demons are created spiritual beings with all the attributes that go along with that higher order of existence. They are immortal. They cannot die. They are instantaneously mobile, which means they are not limited by space and time like material creatures such as human beings. And they are immensely powerful in their intelligence, which is superior to any other created beings. They are, in essence, minds without bodies. I like that.
Wow, I never heard that before, yeah. But it comes from one of the greatest philosophers in the 20th century who was a student of St. Thomas. He was a Thomist, Dr. Mortimer Adler. Minds without bodies. When I read that, Eddie, that's such a powerful description.
Yeah, you know, you think about
but
that.
But they're like super minds. You know what I'm saying?
So yeah,
super
advanced,
intellects.
Yes, super intellectual minds without bodies. And that gives them, that I could see where the nature of an angel is such that it does make them so superior, just because without a body, you're not restricted by time and space, by
and death, and have to go to the bathroom and all that stuff.
I heard it once said, how many angels can dance on the tip of this pen? And the answer was, as many that want to, because there's no bodies. It's not like they take up space here. So as many as want to dance on the tip of this pen. Anyways, okay. So as Mortimer Adler says in his book, The Angels and Us, furthermore, they have an angelic will whose strength far surpasses the flesh-bound weaknesses of the human will.
Wow.
So it's, wow. It's you know, that's very interesting, Jess, because as I think about it, you know, which they all possess, this will, which all the angels possess, is why they can maneuver around a spiritual warfare victim, when we're talking about possession, obsession, etc., and hide within their sins and wounds, which caused the priest to have to interrogate and discern what the best path to expel the demon is. I just thought about this just as we're reading this, and this kind of deviates a little bit from the topic, but I think it's still on topic, which is how they're able to do what they do, the fallen angels. This is very interesting.
Eddie, also something very interesting that first paragraph that you just shared with us is that, just let's not forget, what Mortimer Adler is teaching us in the Catholic Church is that demons have an intellect and a will. We have an intellect and a will, human beings, but we have an intellect and a will, and we have a body, okay?
Yeah.
Demons have an intellect and a will, but no body. And that's why they have a certain advantage over us.
Yeah, exactly.
We get tired, we get thirsty, we get sick, we get old, we get sleepy. Since demons don't have to wrestle with that, all they are is just a pure intellect and a pure will that never gets tired, never has to sleep, never gets thirsty, never gets hungry, never has to take a shower. And so in that sense, that's why they have contempt for us. They look at us like second class,
sure,
like dirt. They said, man, these human beings that God's son died for their sins to bring them to heaven one day, they're so bound by time and by decomposition of the body and by sickness and by age. That's why they have a certain contempt for us, because they see that our bodies are falling apart.
Yeah. Jess, the thing is, it's so funny because, you know, the whole theology thing starts to make sense as you put these little pieces of the puzzle together. But I say, except they forget one thing. Jesus Christ became a human being.
Yes.
The second person of the Trinity came through, and he saved us from our sins. But then
through his body.
Through his body. Using his body, right. And then he resurrected from the dead and waits to call everybody to himself. That's what they forgot. So
yeah, and that's why that was the initial, I will not serve.
Exactly.
Because when they saw the plan of God, that God would become incarnate in the person of Christ, they're saying, no. A body's a lower species than we are. We're angels, and that's where the rebellion came in, is the incarnation.
Yeah.
That's why, here's something interesting. Father Ripperger teaches that when he's preparing somebody for exorcism, he says they have to pray at least 30 days before he actually does. They have to.
Yeah.
You're on a diet minimum of 30 days. Every day you're praying. And here's what he assigns. He assigns the prayers, the Auxilium Christianorum, to be prayed sometime during the day at the same time. Then he assigns that. Here's interesting. Because he knows how powerful the incarnation is and how demons hate the incarnation. He assigns people of possession to pray the Angelus. Because it's all an incarnate. You know, the angel of the Lord, and she conceived by the Holy Spirit, you know. And the Word became... It's an entire incarnation prayer. Short. Father Ripperger has possessed people pray that for 30 days before he sees them. 6 a.m., 12 noon, and 6 p.m. Why does he do that? He says those are the three most powerful times of prayer in the world. He says because more Catholics are praying at 6 a.m., 12 noon, and 6 p.m. So people that are demonized, he says that's when he gives spiritual direction. That's when I want you to pray. Whatever else you're going to pray, the Angelus, because that incarnation prayer, it routs demons. It puts demons to flight because that's exactly what they rebelled against. And if you pray from 6, 12, and 6, you unite your prayers with millions of monasteries and convents around the world.
Yeah, that's beautiful, Jess. You know, like I said, it puts the pieces of the puzzle together. We understand why it's so brilliant for Father to use this procedure by which he ultimately heals people, delivers people from the grasp of the devil. Let's go on with the arc here. So when certain angels rebelled against God and became demons by their own choosing, they did not lose their essential spiritual nature nor their immense powers. They just lost the state of grace and had to accept the limitations that go with that loss. Intense pain and anxiety, a diminishment of their full angelic strength, the blindness of their minds toward the things of God, and ultimately eternal punishment in hell.
Something I wanted to say about what you just read there, where it says that they have a diminishment of their full angelic strength. I'm so glad they have a diminishment because... I know the Catholic Church does teach, the saints teach that even the lower angels in heaven, the angels in the lower rung of the ladder, are more powerful than the highest demons in the highest rungs of the ladder of the demonic kingdom. And that comes from, because when the demons rebelled against God, the angels rebelled against God, they became demons now. God has, part of the punishment is, the diminished capacity of their full angelic strength. That's what St. Thomas teaches. So that's why you'll even see, for example, St. Michael, who was the third rung from the bottom, an archangel, when you look at the nine choirs of angels, and Lucifer, according to tradition, was probably a seraphim. Most likely people say right. He was a seraphim. He was a ninth, higher rank, top of the food
angel,
chain.
Right.
And Michael was able to defeat Lucifer. Why? Because, again, because Lucifer in his rebellion already started having a diminishment of his angelic strength.
Right. Yeah. And that makes sense, Jess. That's why the more humble, the more obedient angels were able to like I said before, be to kick the devil out of heaven. That was his job, and that's what he did. It says here, demons and angels are, therefore, not supernatural in the strict sense that Catholic philosophy and theology use the term. Okay? The term supernatural is attributable to God alone, who exists above all creature nature and is different in essence from all his creatures. Although both demons and angels interact with the natural world, or our natural world, their attributes and abilities are properly termed preternatural, more specifically, beyond the natural world and the normal power of human beings. So, Jess, that's why, generally speaking, when we say supernatural, we're talking about God alone.
Alone.
So it's not proper, really, to talk about angels and,
That's sloppy theology. Sloppy, and a lot of people exactly. do it. A lot of people do it. They'll say, oh, yeah, angels, supernatural, and homilies and stuff. It's just sloppy. It's not precise theology.
Exactly, and that's what we have to know. And that's why here at Jesus 911, Jess, we give you these intel briefings, these spiritual weapons and tactics, so that you can use these terms precisely for what they're meant. And, of course, we know that the angels exist in preternatural dynamic, okay? They exist in a term called preternatural. So first it's supernatural, God.
Alone,
just God alone. Then below that, preternatural, which all the angelic nature exists, all 9 choirs of angels exist in preternatural.
And even demons, yeah.
And even the demons. Yeah. And then you have human nature. You have the natural. So that's what we're dealing with there.
Yeah, and it's important because as a Catholic, we don't want to give the devil more credit than is due to him. So when a Catholic says, I don't care if it's a homily or a priest writing an article, when they call the devil a supernatural being, they're giving him too much credit, Eddie. They're giving him the attributes of God, and that's not true. It's theologically imprecise. That's lazy, sloppy theology. Don't give the devil more credit than he's due. And so again, just like Eddie said, here's the triad as it stands in Catholic theology. God alone is supernatural, alone. Nobody participates with God in being supernatural. Angels and demons, next rung of the ladder, way underneath God. Preternatural, then way underneath them, us, the human race, mm-hmm. we're natural. And beyond that, let's remember that the supernatural sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us natural beings.
In humanity.
And one day in heaven, get this, and this is why the demons hate us. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 1 that in heaven, one day we, the humans, will have a higher pecking order than the angelic and the demonic realm.
And doesn't it say just that we will judge when we are in heaven?
Yeah, we will even judge the fallen angels. And it says in heaven, we will be superior to the angel.
Wow, man. What a hope we have, Jess. Yep. What a Amen. Hope we have. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that's Jesus 911 for today. Stay tuned for Gary Machuda and the Hands-On Apologetics. But have a great weekend. God bless you all. We will see you next week. Until then, remember, St. Michael the Archangel, pray for us now and at the hour of death. Amen.
Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.